Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are well. Welcome to our Christmas special for 2023. Also, the big match preview on this evening's show. We'll look ahead briefly to the game with Burton Albion at the Valley on Saturday. We'll talk about the departure, of course, of Charlie Kirk, whose contract was ripped up yesterday. And we will have our Christmas fun and games. We've got our Christmas quiz later on in the show, which you will all be able to play along with in the comments. And we'll end with our Christmas montage as well. So joining me to do that, we've got a bit of a packed screen, as you can see, because we need some willing participants for the quiz. So just across the top there, good evening, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Full of Christmas spirit, obviously.
As I can see, probably vodka, I'm guessing. Also, top right there, Tom Wallion. How are you doing, Tom?
Terrified about this quiz.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Bottom right, Santa hat, Ben Cloak. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm all good. Everyone in their household should have some Christmas twiglets. Come on, guys. Get them ready.
Yeah, Ben's got the twiglets going again. And then bottom left is the Mr. Lewis Cat. How are you doing, Luke?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Thank you. Merry Christmas, all.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, one and all. Murray Anderson saying, "Where's Wallin's Christmas jumper?" Come on, Scrooge. Where's your Christmas jumper?
It's upstairs. Simple as that. Just didn't get it.
too lazy to go upstairs. So, good evening to everyone who's joining us in the chat as well. Sam's in there, Jim, Paul's in there. Lucas is joining us from out in Brazil. Good to see you, Lucas. Alan's in there. All hell let loose. Andrew, Paul, Murray, A. Saunders. Loads of people in there. El Sheffy asking, what's Mark going to be cooking for Christmas dinner? Well, we will find out maybe later on in the show. So, like I say, we'll have our Christmas fun and games in the second half of the show. If you guys want to have your say, though, on what's happened over the last few days, then feel free to do so. The first and probably biggest bit of news this week, of course, is the departure of Charlie Kirk, Mark. His contract ripped up, obviously, so we've come to some sort of settlement, so it would have involved paying off some of his contract, if not all of it, obviously much more likely some of it, a portion of it. What's your initial reaction to the departure?
Strange timing was my initial reaction. That close to a window where you're thinking possibly you could get him out of the door then, but you know, if there's no interest, then it's off the books. I feel a little sad for him that it never worked out, but you know, life moves on and it'll move on without him. So
I think it's become clear now that in the summer window we were unable to move him on. You know, I see a couple of people saying, why didn't we hang on to the window to see if we could get a fee, Tom? But the answer is we couldn't get a fee. You know, that's just the way it's going. Obviously, Charlie's, you know, without knowing the exact numbers, Charlie's wages would have been a problem for a lot of clubs that he was likely to be shipped out to. So in a way, I mean, Jim's saying he sees it as a positive step in the right direction. It's certainly we needed him off the books. He wasn't going to play much of a part, as Michael Appleton told me after the Cray game. You know, we were very, very unlikely to see him again. So the fact we've been able to get rid of him, and now we can sort of look back at him as a, unfortunately, an expensive mistake, but at least he is now off the books, and hopefully in some way that allows a little bit more wriggle room for bringing other people in.
Yeah, exactly that. I think I said it a few weeks ago on the pod that, you know, first and foremost, we're all Charlton fans. So our what we want from football is for Charlton to do well. And sadly for Charlie Kirk, that means him not being at the club and freeing up those wages. I don't think any of us, hopefully, or not certainly, I don't hold a grudge against him. I'm sure he came in and wanted it to work. He obviously came in difficult circumstances and it hasn't worked. I think some of the way he has performed has not been good enough. But ultimately, this is probably the right decision for everybody. If he goes on and does well somewhere else, fair play to him. And with him not here, as you say, we've now got some wages hopefully to work with. And the big thing now is that Appleton needs that money and they need to give it to him and let him get some players in who actually can impact the team going into the second half of the season.
Can you put your finger on Ben why it never worked for Charlie? You know, I guess we've all been hypothesizing about it for pretty much the entire time we've been here. Obviously, as Tom mentioned there, he came in difficult circumstances, you know, losing his father very shortly before moving the length of the country. But, you know, we're still, what, we two and a bit years hence, and there's still been no clear improvement whatsoever.
Well, the change of managers obviously hasn't helped, but yeah, I mean, a move down from the north, because he seemed to do quite well when he went on loan to Blackpool, didn't he? Maybe not settling as so well. I know he had quite a good friendship with Sandoval when he was here, so that would have been good for him to kind of make some friends and make it your home. It's tricky to put your finger on it, isn't it? Because we've had players come down from, they've lived up north and then they've lived up to expectations. There was quite a bit of hype around him at the time, and look, we weren't playing well, so we were looking to him as kind of someone who can turn those draws into wins as such. And then obviously, how many managers have we had under him? About four or five managers. And they've all kind of had the same reaction from him, really. We haven't, apart from that Burton game when he turned into Messi for one half, we haven't really seen much from him, have we? So, yeah, it's hard to put your finger on, really. I'll just maybe not settling down. Obviously, as Tom said, with his dad passing away before he came here, that was hard for him to adjust to. But yeah, look, he's a human being at the end of the day. We don't know him off the field. We're a Charlton fan seeing him on the field, and it just hasn't been good enough. So wish him all the best, and hopefully it works out for him somewhere else.
Yeah, Michael's saying, I think at this point, it's as much about him and where he needs to go for himself as it is for what we can get out of it. Dean's saying it's the best Christmas present yet. The fact that he is off Charlie Kirk. Jake reckons it could have been done a couple of years earlier. I sympathise with his circumstances, but his attitude on and off the pitch was appalling. His social media was always very telling. Murray's saying, I've got to ask Ben a question every time he's got a twiglet in his mouth. To be fair to me, like, Ben's always got a twiglet in his mouth, so the show would be very quiet. Ben just wouldn't be involved if I don't ask him when he's got a twiglet in his mouth. Jake's saying, I wish him the best, but fundamentally, if you're a winger, you don't tackle or take players on, then you're never going to reach your potential. Mr. Barnsley, the Barnsley fans, join us again, saying Merry Christmas from Mr. Barnsley fan. Merry Christmas to all of you up at Oakwell. Lewis, It's a shame the way it worked out, but some of those displays are the reason we got here as well. Like we can't gloss over the performance against Cray Valley at the Valley and some of the other times we've seen him in it. Well, pretty much the majority of the times we've seen him in a Charlton shirt, and that's before you even add in. I mean, Jake mentioned about the social media stuff. Obviously, the himself and I think it was his partner getting involved more, so yeah, that's just, when you see that sort of stuff, you're thinking, right, it's probably not going to work out here, is it?
Yeah, I think it was all kind of dwindling down eventually, his time here. I wouldn't have been, so I mean, obviously I was expecting him to go in January, I think, like most people were. I think it's pretty obvious that his future lies away from Charlton. Five managers can't get a tune out of him. I think going back to what you say about the Cray game, I felt like that sort of epitomised that maybe he kind of lost a bit of belief in himself as well, and that maybe he is thinking this is the wrong place for me, which maybe is why it's been done now as opposed to in the window, that he's kind of held his hands up and gone, look, this isn't working for me. I'll terminate on these terms, and the club have gone, yeah, fine, and it's freeing up space for something that's going to make us better, which is the most important thing, I think. One thing that we've seen out of Appleton is that he's quite ruthless, and if people aren't performing for him or putting in that desired effort, you know, all players are entitled to off days, but if the effort and the desire is not there, then Appleton, I think more than most managers we've had recently, have really questioned mentality of players when the performances haven't been there. And I don't think Charlie did himself any favours. There's always been opportunity for him to get into the side, especially when we've been the team we are with the injuries we deal with and being short of players in certain areas, and out wide especially, we've seen managers turn to other options ahead of Charlie, even players that maybe aren't playing their positions. Alfie May is an example, playing out wide recently. So he's really far down the pecking order. And yeah, as you say, a lot of that is going to come down to to performances. And I think maybe the attitude that he has at the moment, whilst he's obviously, he came with some promise that there's a player in there, it feels like maybe he never really got out of second gear here. And that's affected him mentally, which has then in turn probably affected his drive and desire to play for this football club. And it's all, you know, as you said, it's been quite an expensive mistake, and he'll move on now. We'll wish him well, and hopefully whatever we freed up will be reinvested smartly by Andy Scott, Michael Appleton, whoever's going to make that decision.
Yeah, that's obviously the most important thing now. I mean, Alan said that he never tried. Dan reckons that when he was even playing with the under-21s for minutes, he looked like the worst player on the pitch with no energy and no drive. Jay says, I don't think he wanted to be at Cheltenham from day one. It's a waste of talent and from money. And Andrew completely agrees with what Jay said there. I mean, Murray's saying he's got to be careful he doesn't slip down into non-league, you know. And, well, he'll certainly have to buck his ideas up. You know, the assumption will be now. I mean, all hell let loose is saying, could it be he was approaching an additional payment to crew based on appearances? Well, you can sort of guarantee he never would have got anywhere near those appearances with us anyway, so I don't think that was the thing. Well, if you think about it logically, so let's say he's come to an agreement, and let's just guess that he's agreed to be paid off until the end of this season, but also he's now free to sign for another club in January. That would effectively mean, let's say he signed a 2-year deal with someone in January, he'd be getting all of this year's money plus the money he'd be paid by his new club plus an extra year on the end of that. So, you know, or even a third year, you know, that these things can work out in the favour of the player, and obviously Cheltenham have had to probably take some sort of hit on that. Dan's saying, not to forget the fact the owners have gone out and spent money with a settlement. Can we see that as big intent from the ownership to free up wage bill for FFP? I mean, it's certainly important to free up as much money as possible and wriggle room if that's how it's going to work out. I don't really understand exactly what it means if you've paid someone off in terms of the FFP, like if it means, you know, you have to do it over instalments or anything like that. Mark, but yeah, the important thing is, as we say, is that we back it up now. You know, that was one of the big things we had to do, was get him off the wage bill eventually. So now we've got to actually use that money wisely and make sure that our signings are a slightly higher quality than what we've been used to in the last few years.
Yeah, hopefully they've already got their eye on one or two who could fill that gap. I mean, it's hard to see where you said about, you know, he might have a couple of years money coming in, but it's hard. Can't see anyone in our league going for him. So it means he's going to drop down. You know, he could end up at Gillingham as well. Seems to be where everyone goes now. You want the work to be done early. You want them to be looking at someone and thinking, right, let's get them in and get in soon. I hate the window in as far as you're constantly scrolling and watching and seeing and rumours coming in and this player and that player. You're thinking, get it early like we did with Alfie. And, you know, Ben Appleton's got weeks to work with him. Don't wait to the end of it, you know, and hope that we're not just going to rely on one of our kid wingers coming out through the under-21s or under-18s just to make up the numbers.
Yeah, certainly. Right, Ben says, Merry Christmas all. Got some transfer news from my mate, who is the agent of Corey Blackett-Taylor. There's a lot of interest around him, but he likes how the reshape is looking under Appleton, likes the fans too, as we've been good to him. I mean, that's exactly the sort of thing an agent says when he's trying to negotiate a new contract, and also when he's got loads of interest elsewhere. So I wouldn't read too much into what the man whose job it is to get as much money as possible for Corey Blackett-Taylor would be saying on that front, because, yeah, you know, there was a false rumour going around the other day that he had signed a new deal. But, yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Murray said it is important to tie down Corey and Dobbo to new contracts. All hell let loose. So maybe we could use the savings on Kirk's wages to improve the offer to CBT. Well, we'll see exactly how that works out. Patrick says, interested to see how this window goes with Michael being there for the whole thing. The owner's getting a full window this time too. People forget they had no time when Sandgaard left. Yeah, but also, I mean, then people will still sort of look at the fact they knew they were coming in for months upon months, and therefore you would have hoped they would have, I don't know, done a bit of work, leaning up to when they finally came in. And obviously we did the scores of how the transfer window went in the summer, Tom, and we didn't give great scores for the ones that came in under the new ownership. And obviously, you know, slightly different constraints, but Andy and his team were here last January as well, when we had a very poor window as well. So, you know, Michael said it himself, the windows have got to be better than the last couple. Michael Appleton said that. He doesn't need us to point it out when the club are saying it themselves. They know they've got to follow up the words now.
Yeah, yeah. And Kirk, as I say, Kirk going frees up a little bit, but it's got to be far bigger than that. I think it was after Cambridge, wasn't it? Because I was on the pod and properly miserable when I said, like, it's probably 8 or 9 transfer windows in a row have been poor, and that's why we're still in League One. Is this fourth season in a row, maybe? And that's not good enough for us. We feel like we should be a championship club or a side, sorry, and certainly we want to be a championship side. And you'd argue ever since we've come down, the transfer windows haven't been good enough, because if they were, we'd be back up there. So, yeah, it's massive. It's massive. And as I said on that post-Cambridge show, when you're changing owners every 2 or 3 years and you're changing manager every 6 months, how are you ever supposed to have any sort of consistency to bring in a set of players? Because every manager's working with 3 or 4 sets of managers' players. And that's been the problem. And that's a systemic problem. And if these owners can make a good window this January, and if they can do another one in the summer and then another one next January, whichever league we're in next year, then there's a bit of progression there and there's a bit of consistency. But until that happens, I just don't see us making any real inroads unless we get lucky 1 year, which, who knows, maybe this will be the year. So, yeah, it's huge. It's huge. And Andy Scott's got a big job on his hands because he's sort of built himself up and, you know, his reputation will be on the line with these transfers, you'd have to think.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick's saying, obviously, they weren't allowed to do, like, approach players or anything before they completed the takeover, which is, yeah, which is clear. But also, you'd think, you'd hope they would have had, like, a list of targets that would have ended up with us getting better when they came in. But look, that's all in the past now. As Tom goes, what happens next is important, and you know, it has to be the January and the summer windows have to be good enough to get us in and around the mix. You know, Murray's saying the back four needs sorting out this time. Yeah, there's still room for improvement there massively. Patrick's saying a question for the whole group, Louis, but I'm going to put it to Ben. Would you sell Corey for Jez if that was an option? I know Jez is injured at the moment, I think, so I'm not sure it is an option, but I just don't think that's a realistic question, Ben, really, unfortunately, just because of the fact that I think Jez is probably setting his sights higher than signing for a League One side when he is back fit. But I think he played a couple of Premier League games this season. Don't know who.
It was really
no idea, yeah.
Yeah, it was really odd with Jez, wasn't it? Because he was linked with Leicester all summer, and then for some reason that club decided not to loan him out, because that seemed the natural progression for him. You see it happen, don't you? If a player does well in League One, they go up to the Championship. And that club, their manager, actually really slated him when he came on as a sub. And then just after that, he then got injured and hasn't featured at all since. Yeah, it's such a shame because, I mean, he was brilliant for us, wasn't it? And now his progression has stopped. Would I have him instead of CBT? Yes. Well, if he was our player, then of course, because he's young and then there's a progression there of a player who consistently did it well for us last season. But as you said, that's pie in the sky, isn't it?
Yeah, excellent. Right, had an email from Clive, said it's neither optimistic or pessimistic to say we will not reach the playoffs. It's just realistic. My own stats will reflect exactly that. The division is settling down now as we approach Christmas. We're still sitting in 10th. This is very likely where we will finish. That should not stop us from hoping for more and cheering on the lads to do more. It's not negative, as I think you implied when somebody else suggested this. I mean, that's not. I wouldn't have implied it was negative for people to cheer on the fans or anything like that. But he says, I think we now have an ownership which understands where we are, in contrast to well-meaning Thomas wearing his rose-tinted spectacles. So at least we have a touch of reality. My belief is that the new regime will invest, but softly, softly, over a period of a few years. So please do not expect top six investment in the new year. We're looking likely at a few transfer windows before we get to that stage. There is cause for optimism. We're in a better place than 12 months ago. In another 12 months, we might be getting even nearer to sixth place. At the moment, we must temper our expectations, because our high expectations and negativity when they are not achieved is almost certainly affecting the players. Keep up the faith and the good work. That's from Clive. But like I said, you know, me being negative about the fact that we're at our lowest point ever on the field of play is, you know, I think that's probably to be expected. And also, I don't think it has the effect that people have. The lack of investment over years, or poor investment over years, is the reason we find ourselves at the lowest point we've ever been on the field of play. And the longer that goes on, you know, and this is realism, the longer that goes on, the worst position we'll find ourselves in. But we do need to start looking ahead to Saturday, home game with Burton Albion, our last game, of course, before Christmas. Lewis, yeah, looking forward to this one. Obviously, a Burton side who are managerless after Dino Marmaris was let go a couple of weeks ago. They've lost each of their last 5 games in League One, and 6 of their last 7. They're 7 without a win. The only point they picked up in that time was a goalless draw at home to Leyton Orient. They're sitting, I think, 4 points above the relegation zone. So this is an example, Lewis, of where we have to be pretty ruthless.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, especially with it being at home, you need to take advantage of other teams being in difficult positions. They're always a side that seem to turn it on against us every now and then. You know, with the lot when they had Deji Oshalaja playing for them, I think last season, I think it's the best I've ever seen him play. And he seems to play everywhere for them as well. Just as like he turned the best football you've ever seen. So I don't think it would be easy. I think, you know, when we come up against a side that's going through a bad patch, they always seem to come good against us. It just seems to be the Charlton way. They're going to have a bit of motivation behind it, I suppose, to come and try and kick on. They've made that managerial change. I don't know how close they are to appointing a replacement, but I've seen a few fairly decent managers linked to that job, which, you know, never really means anything when it comes from the bookies. But they seem to have this appeal to players and managers every now and then, Burton. So I never really take them for granted, because we always seem to, always seems to be a good game, but we always do seem to struggle. And with them signing Cole Stockton in the summer as well, I think I said before we went on air, he only ever scores bangers and they always seem to come against us. So I'm expecting at least one sort of 40-yard screamer into the top corner on Saturday. So at least we know we're going to have to score at least two to win the game. But yeah, look, it's going to be a tough test. It'd be nice to start the Christmas, you know, congested fixture list up with 3 points at home, send everyone away merry into Christmas, and then kick on to Boxing Day. But I don't think it's going to be easy, regardless of their situation.
Yeah, Ben says these clubs' previous results mean nothing when they come up against us, but we do have a decent record against them at the Valley. The Pirelli, we always seem, it does feel like we struggle a lot. We had that 3-3 game, didn't we? Well, the one where Charlie Kirk scored twice. It was one of the greatest days in the club's history, and we still managed to not win, of course. Dan saying it's a perfect set of form for us to give them the 3 points as well. So they've got a caretaker manager at the moment in Gary Mills. Yes, yeah, so I haven't seen who's linked with him yet, actually, as well. But I mean, focusing on ourselves, Mark, obviously, you know, we're six games undefeated in League One, although having only won two of those, 9 points off the playoffs. But we are strong at home, you know, and it's important that we start off this festive period. We don't want to be going into this run of quick fire games, because obviously we've got four now, but so we're on the 21st, and by the time we get to New Year's Day and play Oxford, that'll be our fourth game in that time. So we don't want to start it with poor momentum or a defeat against a side that are really struggling.
No, that's it. I mean, that's the nail on the head. You've really got to start that first game. It doesn't really matter who you're playing. That first game, when you've got so many close together, is the important one. Because if you draw, you might go, oh, okay, we've got another three games, and, you know, you just start looking. No. Win your first one. Take the confidence. Take the momentum to Orient, and then move it on like that. So yeah, I can't see Appleton sort of like planning a four-game period, if you know what I mean. Sort of like bring someone in for this game. I'm thinking it's very much he's going to go, right, who's going to do me for this game? And then who picks up a knock? What do I have to tweak? Where can I move it? You know, he's not been a wholesale change. We've seen Fraser drop in and out, Watson. Up front, it's really sort of like the same characters. Defensively, we look a little more solid now. I don't know if Jones is back, but it's the first game's the important one. Let's just get any win. I don't care how scrappy, whatever. Like Lewis said, you know, it's guaranteed Stockton's going to get one, but I think Alfie May will get two. So
Fingers crossed. I mean, Patrick and All Hell Let Loose are both asking if there's likely to be any players back from injury. But I'm fairly confident Michael, when we last spoke to him, said that no one was due back until the new year at the earliest. So I know there's a couple have been out on the grass, but even then, they're probably given a bit of time to recover. But we'll see how it works out. Obviously, no press conferencing until tomorrow. Alan saying if we lose that one, we might as well give up, which is probably the case. Robert says it depends which players turn up on Saturday. We shouldn't be losing this one. Jake said we should expect 6 points against Orient and Burton, come short against many sides, but we shouldn't struggle against if we can't beat the top six sides, then we have to consistently beat these teams. And that's why the run between now and New Year, so obviously Oxford on New Year's Day is a tough one, but, you know, we're saying it quietly, all three of these sides that we're playing, including Bristol Rovers on the Friday, are all below us, Tom. So like we have to make the most of this period. You know, Christmas periods can be, you know, and I've said it 100 times, like we're teetering on the edge of being out of the playoff race already. So we can't, but we, if you win 3 games in a row, then it can change things surprisingly quickly. So let's hope we can do that, albeit with a squad that's struggling a little bit from injuries going into this pretty busy period.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's based on anything other than just a hunch, but I don't feel like we ever seem to do well over this period of the season. And you're right. If we can get 3 wins, I think we've got Port Vale after Oxford as well, haven't we? I know they're not low down, but again, they're below us in the table. So there's a lot of games coming up against the sides below. And given our record against the sides above us, that's got to be a good thing. So, yeah, it starts here. They've lost 5 league games in a row or 5 games in a row. They're there for the taking. We have to make that home advantage count. We have to kick that run off. And as we were saying on the other show, we haven't lost a lot of league games recently, even if we haven't been winning them either. So go into that, kickstart this little period, go away to Orient. Again, I know our away record isn't great, so for that and Bristol, it's slightly tougher, but there's still teams that you're looking at the start of the season and thinking we should be beating them. So, yeah, you go into that New Year's Day game with 9 points out of 9 and suddenly it's very, very different. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, at this stage, it's a bit like the other week. It's at this stage of it all, it's encouraging and it's exciting. But then when you go and lose on Saturday, you're then like, oh, God, we've got to have 2 games in a week and we're really struggling. So I'm still in the hope stage at the moment, but we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, Mark talking about Boxing Day is put in our chat. He's going all the way back to about 2003, though, to be fair, that we beat Chelsea that time. But that was nice. That was a nice one. Michael says, I don't think we ever do well at any point in the season, to be fair. Alfie going through a bit of a goal drought. All hell let loose, as pointed out, is he has gone an entire game without a goal now, which is very concerning. Andrew would like to see him play in 10. I mean, we'll have the whole Tedic argument again, won't we? Again, so it sounds like the club are trying to move him back to City in the window. But it's an interesting one because while we're in the current situation, I'm not saying that Tedic is exactly playing very well, but once he goes, we don't have a great deal up top until reinforcements come. So it'd be interesting to see how the timing of that works over the next few weeks if he does go back. Patrick said again to the group, we haven't had the best this season away from home. Would you say Wigan away was the best we played, or would we say Barnsley Saturday was our best performance? Funny enough, I had this chat with, I think, Tell after the game on Saturday. We were trying to decide if that was our best overall away performance this season, because we actually played pretty well for the majority of the 90 minutes, whereas Wigan, we played really well for 45, kept him at arm's length for 30 and then collapsed for 15. So yeah, it was certainly up there. I did think we played well, and then Alan points out we need wins, draws are like defeats in the end. Yeah, I mean, Jake's saying Carney better than Tedic in the 9 role. Is that how you'd go, Lewis? Who's next? Ben, for the game on the Saturday?
Yeah, I'd like to see that Carney given that role to start the game, just simply because the last couple of games when he's come on, he's done well. Now, obviously, we see occasions when Aniki comes on and does well, or Miles comes on and does well, and they don't do it from the start. But, I mean, Tedic has had his go at the start on Saturday. Okay, it was against a team that knew him quite well because he was there last season, but yeah, I mean, if that little shot from Tedic from the edge of the area on Saturday goes in, that might give him the confidence he needs to give him that boost to kick on with the rest of his career here. But you just don't see it, do you, really? I mean, the goal he did score for us was a scuff shot that rolled into the corner. And apart from that, he's not really getting on the ball that much. With Carney, you do see that desire, don't you? I think I said it on Sunday's show. He's hungry. You can see he wants to be on the ball. He's a bit like Alfie May. He's kind of maybe learning from him to see Alfie May's hunger to get on the ball, be about the place and making runs, causing defence problems. You just don't see that with Tedic. I don't know, as you said earlier, does he know his time's up and he's going to go back to Man City? But yeah, I'd start with Daniel. Like, he's hungry. He's ready to go. And off the back of that loan, he's got a bit of confidence now. So it'd be nice to see how him and Alfie link up.
Excellent. Now, Sam said he wouldn't let Tedic go until we sign a decent striker. Like I say, if that will be the case, we'll find out over the next few weeks. Right, we're going to have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we will turn our attention to this year's Christmas quiz. Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, the River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. As I said, this is our Christmas special this year, so we will be having our Christmas quiz very shortly. Just a couple of reminders before we start. The Supporters Trust are collecting for Greenwich Food Bank behind the West Stand on Saturday again, so if you can donate some food stuffs or some money to them, feel free to do so. Also, this will be our last live stream of 2023. I am giving the guys Christmas Eve off. Because I'm not that much of a Scrooge. So, yeah, this will be our last one. So don't expect to see us Sunday morning, Christmas Eve morning. I might put out some match reaction just as a podcast, depending on if it's a really good match. If it's not, I probably won't bother because it saves me a little bit of work over Christmas as well. But, yeah, thanks to everyone who's joined us throughout the year. And traditionally, at this time of year, we have our Christmas quiz, which I always, always enjoy. I've split the guys into two sets of teams. So bear with me while I go and try and pronounce one of the most confusing names I've ever got. For some reason, I can't say this. But the two sets of teams, Ben and Lewis and Mark and Tom, I did a full-blown draw on Excel and sent the guys a video proof of who they landed with. And I also flipped a coin, which I also videoed to prove I wasn't cheating, to see which team went into column one and column two on the questions. So they can't argue that one set of questions is harder than the other because, well, it's just pure luck who gets them. So Ben and Lewis. All right, Ben, I'm going to give you the chance to tell us what your team name is because I can't pronounce it.
It's a McGrandini ho-ho-hos after the Conor McGrandles. He's like me and Lewis's hero, so we've tried to make it Christmassy as well.
Excellent. Well, you deserve to lose purely based on that. And then Mark and Tom are the other team. Mark, do you want to share us your team name?
Yes, we're the Elfie May Appreciation Society.
Elfie May Appreciation Society. So there you can go. I've got a screen there with the. I've shortened it to Appreciators because it wouldn't fit on my little scoreboard there. But I'll pop that up during the course of the quiz. Now the quiz is 10 questions per team. Some of them are audio questions, which we'll hear throughout the show. Some of them are questions based on this season. There's one round that I've based on Charlton history to see who knows as much as I do. We've got a Charlie Kirk special round because he left this week, so I thought it'd be nice to celebrate his departure with a couple of quiz questions on his behalf as well. So, as I said, it's the McGrandini Ho-Hos. Oh, yeah, that was terrible. Who are going to go first? One thing I can say, so in the comments, feel free to guess your answers as you go across. So there is a setting on the website, which means I can click that these guys can't see your comments. So don't worry about commenting and guessing. I should check. Guys, have you seen any of these comments throughout the show that you can't see them? No, we're clear.
No, I've seen nothing.
All right.
No,
yeah, yeah, that's what I'd say if I didn't know the answer to any questions and needed help as well. but yeah, so if you guys want to play along at home, when I start answering, asking the questions, stick your answers in the chat. I can give prize. Well, I can give shout outs to anyone who might have got it correct. Now, when the quiz is going on, obviously you'll want to know if you're right or if you're wrong. So I've got a couple of buzzers to say if you are right or wrong. I think it's probably obvious what you're going to hear if you're right.
On the ball.
Another point on the board there from Nathan Miller. And if you're wrong, I've gone to our technical director, Andy Scott.
Habit has got to stop, and we've got to start having a mentality that means that we can win.
There we go. I'm going to be using that.
I didn't hear the correct one, by the way. I don't know if others did.
That's all right. I wouldn't worry too much about it, Ben, because you're very unlikely to hear it throughout the rest of the quiz anyway.
Oh,
on the ball.
Yeah, do you hear? It's very quiet. It's just Nathan saying another point on the board. So if you don't hear it, I will point out that it's right. But anyway, so we're going to dive straight in then. So the first question goes to the McGrandini Ho-Hos, which is Ben and Lewis. And it's based on this season so far. It's, like I say, start off quite easy and then maybe get progressively harder as it goes on. So this one is for Ben and Lewis. How many games have we lost at home in the league this season?
Oh.
Well, it's just supposed to be the easy one.
Do we talk to each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Bolton with us.
Bolton.
Port Vale.
Port Vale.
And Bristol Rovers.
They're the ones I can remember.
Yeah.
I can't think of any more. I can't think of any more than that, which sounds mental. But
no,
I think
more than
that. Right, so let's go for your final answer, lads, or we're going to be here all night.
All right, we'll have to go with three then.
Yeah, three.
On the ball.
Another point on the board. You are correct. So, yeah, we've lost three games at home this season. Bristol Rovers, Port Vale and Bolton. So, yeah, we've not got the worst record in terms of losing games at home this season. So, right, the next question is for the Elfie May appreciators. Who scored our first away goal this season and who was it against? And this is in all competitions. So that's for Tom and for Mark. Who scored our first goal this season and who was it against away from home? I will point out that Andrew was correct with the 3 home defeats. So congratulations to Andrew. Michael was not close with 11, but close, maybe a little bit close. So who scored our first away goal this season?
And so all competitions,
Yeah.
So I think, Mark, Carno? I might look like an idiot here, but I think it was Carno at Newport because I think I researched this earlier.
I was going to say Carno at Newport.
So, yeah, let's go with that.
That was very early, wasn't it?
On the ball.
Congratulations. Yeah, very, very, very well done. It was Dan Carney who scored our first away goal of the season. That was in the cup defeat at Newport County. We won it up at halftime in that game. The glory days when we thought, you know, we'd won our first game. We were 1-0 up. We thought we were going to be excellent this season. So, yeah, a couple of people got it right in the chat. Well done to Dan who guessed Carney away at Newport, Andrew and Robert. Sam are in there as well. Congratulations with that one. Right, on to round two. This is for Ben and Lewis because I can't say your team name. This is an interesting question. Who has been subbed on the most times in the league for us this season? So who has been introduced from the bench the most times for us this season?
Ooh,
flipping hell.
Subbed in. You'd
say someone like Chucks maybe, but...
I don't think he's played enough. Simway's been on quite a bit in the middle.
Yeah, that's
not
a good shout.
Did
these get passed across, Lou?
No. No.
You boys have been doing research. Probably no.
Subbed on.
Louis Watson maybe subbed on a bit.
Yeah, he's starting a lot though at the start.
Yeah. I'd say like either Chucks, Miles, or a Simway, because like they've.
Miles is a good shout, other, actually. Miles is a good shout.
Right, I'm going to have to push you for your final answer.
You decide, Lewis.
Miles, Lieben.
Habit has got to stop. We've got to start having a mentality that means that we can win.
Andy's got
to go away. Yeah, I'm afraid it was Tyrese Campbell who's been subbed on nine times in the league so far this season. So actually no one in the chat guessed correctly either. Tyrese Campbell's been subbed on nine times this season. So very similar question for the Elfie May appreciators. Who's been subbed off the most amount of times in the league this season?
Corey?
Who plays on the other wing? It's got to be a winger or a midfielder and it's not Dobson, right?
Yeah.
And who else played with Dobson if it wasn't Fraser? It was Fraser, May and Watson, wasn't it?
Fraser, May, Watson, Campbell and Caroy Anderson.
Oh, I forgot about Caroy. Yeah. See, this is what this quiz does.
At the start of the season, he had quite a lot.
Your first thought was Corey, yeah? Wingers usually do, don't Corey. They? That's the thing. And he's played pretty much every game.
Yeah. I don't remember seeing him finish a lot of games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And I usually have him in a bet and then he gets subbed off. So,
yeah.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with Corey.
On the ball.
There we go. I'm hoping you're hearing that, but that was another point on the board for the Elfie May appreciators. It was indeed Corey Blackett-Taylor, who's been subbed off eight times this season in League One. Right, we're going to head over to our first audio question. The first audio round, these are goals scored by Charlton players. I'm going to play you the commentary by Terry Smith. Obviously, I've beeped out some of the important information. So as we go into round three, Elfie May appreciators are 2-1 up, by the way. They've got two correct. McGrandinio Ho Ho has only got one correct. So this is for the first team, McGrandinio Ho Ho Ho. This is goal A. Let us know who scored this goal and who it was against.
Across to on the right-hand side. Thinks about a shot. Takes it! Oh! What a finish from Blackett-Taylor. Cut in on the right. He thought he might offload with another stunner that he did the other night. Instead, teed up. Touched it to his right and unleashed an unstoppable strike beyond. And the Addicts have a two-goal cushion.
I know that one. Yeah, it's Campbell against Reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought he was going to shoot and then he passed it across.
Yeah, excellent choice. It was Tyrese Campbell's absolute stunner against Reading at the Valley. So that brings you back onto level terms 2-2. But the Elfie May appreciators do have a question in hand. This is goal B. Again, I want to know who scored it and who it was against. By the way, I keep forgetting to say congratulations. Quite a few people got that one correct in the chat. I think Richard Paul's in there. Andrew got it. Dan Bro got it. There's some correct answers in that, so well done. Right, yeah, this is goal B. This is for the Elfie May appreciators. Let us know who scored this goal for the Addicts and who it was against.
And touchline sends Louis Watson away ahead of him. Watson reverses it back into. Can he get it under control? He can. Let's off! Oh, and he scored! Drilled it through the goalkeeper, who I think was expecting the cross shot. It went through the keeper and into the net, and the Addicts have equalised.
So there we go. Who do you reckon scored that goal, Mark and Tom?
Just pick anyone, Mark. Anyone who scored a goal for us against any club that we might
have
played.
Yeah, you have to get the club as well, otherwise you can't just guess.
Okay.
It's just going to be unlikely to get it right.
The thing is, it says the equaliser, so I would say possibly that's...
So it's definitely not George Dobson against Orient, so I know who it's not. But apart from that...
You know what we said earlier, Tom, that the answer is one of three people.
Yeah.
I think it's Blackett-Taylor against Blackpool. Because that was the equaliser.
I didn't even know we played him. Oh, yeah. When Albie Morgan played that game, didn't he?
Yeah.
Gave us a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you like. Yeah. If you like.
Blackett-Taylor against Blackpool.
Habit has got to stop. We've got to start having a mentality that means that we can win.
You are bang wrong, and Andy Scott is not impressed with your loser mentality. That was Alfie May equalising for the Addicts away at Portsmouth. Scored from a very tight angle, which is why Tell said that he thought the goalkeeper was perhaps expecting a cross. So Snuffles got it right. Alan's put Portsmouth, so he's I think got it right there. Paul got the goal scorer right. Jake guessed the goal scorer, but the wrong game. He guessed it is against Oxford. So there we go, three rounds in, and it's 2-2. Both teams have got two questions correct and one question wrong. Right, we're on to the Charlie Kirk round. Try not to get too emotional, chats, but Magrandinho ho ho. Your first Charlie Kirk question is this: who did Charlie score his first Charlton goal against, and what was the score in that game?
I have a feeling he didn't score in his first season. I have a feeling he scored. The one I'm thinking in my head is the Plymouth 5-1 last year, because I remember him coming on and scoring. But he may have scored before that. I don't know.
I can't remember him scoring. That might have been his only goal before those two against Burton.
That's what I'm thinking.
What you think.
I can't remember him scoring when he first came in. Then he got loaned. Then he got loaned to Blackpool. Then he came back, and Plymouth was really early in the season. So
yeah, friendlies don't count, Robert, in the chat, by the way.
You happy with that, Ben?
No, yeah. I didn't even remember him scoring in that game. So yeah, go with it.
5-1 Plymouth.
Not saying you're wrong, but go with it.
So you're going for the 5-1 against Plymouth?
Think so. Let's go for it.
And on the ball.
Correct. It's another point. On the board, Jerry's first goal was in his second season. And it was in that game where we beat Plymouth 5-1 at the Valley. So Magrandinho take a 3-2 lead at this point. For Mark and Tom, the Elfie May appreciate as your Charlie Kirk question. Charlie's debut was in a 2-1 loss away at Milton Keynes Dons. Who scored Charlton's goal that day?
When?
On his debut.
No, when was it? What year?
About a week after we signed him.
Oh, I don't know when that was. Which was
it was under Nigel Atkins a couple of years ago. 2-1 defeat at Milton Keynes.
I remember waiting for you in the Turkish restaurant afterwards outside the ground.
I gave you a lift home, didn't I, Ben? Well, and we spoke the entire way home about the goal scorer of Charlton's goal in Charlie Kirk's debut, but we received
Simon Church then in that case.
come on, Mark, you're not adding much to the conversation here. There's a few people in the chat have got it already. Don't look at that.
I've got it now.
I know this because me and Ben did fans bar for it.
So who did we have then? Would that have been the Stockley era? Would he have been up front for us? Under Adkins?
Yeah, but you said it was we're saying it's an unlikely scorer. So,
and?
one of the fullbacks.
What do you think? Oh, I was just going to go striker because it was...
I don't think
who else played up front for us under him.
Was Perrington still playing for us?
No, surely he'd gone by then.
Going to have to start rushing you guys.
Adkins
have 15 seconds.
Like 2 years ago, right?
Oh, it seems like a lifetime, mate. I don't know.
So maybe Connor Washington was around then, but that wouldn't have been unlikely.
Right, 5 seconds. We need a guess.
Was Deji playing for us? Lou's friend.
I think Stockley. I'm say Stockley.
Okay, Stockley.
He's the only striker I can think of.
Correct, yeah. I don't know why Mark said we thought it was an unlikely goal scorer. It was Jaden Stockley headed us into a 1-0 lead before we went on to lose. That game. Right, we're now on to the Michael Appleton round. I was looking at the questions from when we did the quiz last year, and we had Anthony Hayes round because he was the caretaker boss at the time. But Michael Appleton is actually a permanent boss, especially judging by the amount of time he's been here already under our sort of history. So he's done really well. This is the Michael Appleton round. This one is for Magrandinho Ho. So it's 3-3 as we enter round number 5. Michael Appleton, which club did he make the most league appearances for in his career?
Wow.
I thought you were going to say how much does he bench press or something like that. How much is his Stone Island jacket? Come on, that would have been better. It's either Preston or West Brom, isn't it? West Brom.
I have no clue, mate. So I'm all whatever you guess, I'll go with. Did he ever play for Oxford? I feel like Oxford treat him like a bit of a hero. But I don't know if that's just from his manager.
I thought with Oxford, it was just where he managed well. I thought it's because then he went into a coach at West Brom. That's what I'm thinking sense. With West Brom.
Mate, I'm happy with West Brom. If you
he got a bad injury, didn't he? Yeah, we'll go West Brom, Lou.
Habit has got to stop, and we've got to start having a mentality that means that we can win.
Yeah, Ben, you should have gone with your second answer, which was Preston, where he made 121 appearances. He did, he did play at West Brom, but his career ended at West Brom, I think, when he had an injury. So, he missed out. So you missed a chance to go ahead. The Michael Appleton round question for the Elfie May appreciators. And I'll give you 1 year's grace either side. How old is he?
Ooh, what a lovely question.
Yeah, because we had the same question for Anthony Hayes last year and no one knew.
Did we?
It was only one website had a guess, so we went with that. But this one is...
I'd be saying mid-40s, probably.
Yeah.
Because he's managed Blackpool, Lincoln, Blackburn, Portsmouth, has he, maybe?
Yeah, so allowing at least two of them...
So two years each at like seven clubs is 14 years. If he retired, well, if he went straight into a coaching role from retirement.
I was going to say, for this logic to work, you need to know what age he started managing.
Well, no, because Ben said he went from West Brom playing straight into managing. So that would have been quite late. So maybe mid, I don't know, let's say 33. So that put him at 47.
Go for 47. It's the year we won the cup.
And that's seven clubs, 2 years each. So that would be 14. 47.
Well, I have to say, your logic was absolutely flawless. It's another point on the board. He's 48 years old. Oh, so, but I said I'd allow a year's grace either way. So that's well done. Bad. Well, so at the halfway point, is that the halfway point? No, in fact, that's five questions in. And I've got it as, 4-3 to the Elfie May appreciators. Over McGrandy, Eni, Ho Ho Ho's, which is the most confusing name we've ever had on this quiz. Right, round number six is another audio round. At this stage, you will be hearing some post-match comments from the aforementioned Michael Appleton. I've bleeped out again a couple of details if necessary, but you need to tell me which game he is talking about here, and they both can be in either league or cup. So the first one from McGrandinho, ho-ho, what game is Michael Appleton speaking about here?
Yeah, but only because of how well we played at times. Especially, I suppose, in the second half, we were a hell of a lot more of a threat in the final third in the second half, albeit, you know, in that first half we had some decent opportunities. But yeah, listen, we've conceded a goal which has ultimately made us all frustrated. And everyone will concentrate on that goal that we conceded. But for me, it should be more looking at the opportunities that we sort of wasted.
So there we go. Jake says we won't be able to work it out. He just spends too much time moaning about the ref too frequently. But yeah, so McGrandinho, can you work out what game Mickey Apples was talking about there?
It feels like it's one where the Oppo have scored late, because that'll be what people are speaking about. So... Cambridge recently, we conceded late on, didn't we? The pen, but that was harsh. I don't know if it'd be that.
Well, I thought it sounded like a low scoring thing because he just spoke about how we conceded a bad goal and we should have taken our chances. Was it the Carlisle game, maybe, but it wasn't that bad of a goal to concede, was it? Well, it was bad.
Yeah, if he's saying people will talk about the goal we conceded.
The goal we conceded. I mean, Stevenage Ice had stood there and that was his first game.
Yeah.
Cray.
I'm going to have to start pushing you guys soon. Another 15 seconds.
That's tough. I don't think it's Cray.
I don't think we've won hearing his voice like that. So, yeah, maybe go Carlisle, maybe? What do you think?
I'm happy with that, mate. I have no idea.
We'll go Carlisle then, Lou.
On the ball.
Congratulations. Yeah, you're right. Yes, Ben. And there was a few very good guesses in the chat there as well. Dudley got it. Yeah, Paul got it. Jake got it as well. So well done to you guys. So that brings you back onto level terms. It's 4-4, although the Elfie May appreciators have to tell me what game Michael Appleton is speaking about here.
Well, the performance was poor, but reality is that, you know, the result's the most important thing. And, you know, we didn't do enough to win the game. You know, it was a poor start from us. And I didn't particularly get that much better. We had a couple of opportunities early doors. Obviously, Alfie had the one from the corner. But after that, it became really difficult.
So there we go. Which game do we think that Michael Appleton was speaking about in that little clip? That's for the Elfie May appreciators, Mark and Tom. You need this to take the lead.
Could be any of them, couldn't it? The one I'm thinking of, Bolton, we started badly, right? We conceded too early on.
Yeah.
And we've clearly lost the game. And I can't think, we haven't lost many under him, right?
Lincoln?
Yeah, we lost there. Have we lost Lincoln any others?
Lincoln or Bolton?
Yeah, I'm the same. You pick. You go.
Lincoln.
Habit has got to stop. We've got to start having a mentality that means that we can win.
Bolton?
No, it was Bolton. Gillingham away. Gillingham away in the FA Cup, so I'm afraid you've got that one wrong. So the score is 4-4 after 6 questions for either side. Right, the next couple of rounds it's one or the other, basically. They're both 50-50 questions. So good chance here to stick some points on the board. They're both about this season as well. The first one for McGrandini, oh-ho-ho. Who has made more league starts for us this season, Terrell Thomas or Tyo Eden?
Oh.
God, you know what?
I reckon
Terrell there.
Yeah, I reckon Thomas as well, because Tyo was injured for that spell and Thomas had to play left back. And then he started...
And now he's playing at centre-back.
And now he's playing centre-back. And he played left-back at the start when Tyo first came in and was getting fit. So, I think Terrell.
Yeah, we'll go Terrell, Lou.
On the board.
Correct. It's another point on the board for you guys. There was only one appearance in it. Terrell was started 11 games and Tyo was started 10. Very similar question for the Elfie May appreciators, who are trailing by 5-4 in the quiz. Now, again, there's only one appearance or one start in it. Who's made more league starts out of Caroy Anderson and Nathan Asimwe?
I'd go Anderson. Because Asimwe, I can't remember having a big run in. And when what's his face came in at right back, he didn't really get a sniff. But then Caroy's not really done much since he got his call up.
I don't know if he's played. Does this count in cup as well, Lou?
League starts only.
Anderson had a few at the start, didn't he?
Yeah, he had quite a, in the beginning. He had about 5 or 6 in a row.
I mean, they both did. That's the problem. They both played, what, the first 2 or 3 games?
Going to have to push, yeah. We're running out of time.
We'll go Caroy, because Mark's first thought was Caroy.
Oh. Habit has got to stop. We've got to start having a mentality that means that we can win.
I'm afraid your losing mentality has cost you big there. Nathan has started 8 league games and Caroy has only started 7. Right, sort of a similar question as we get into round 8 with the McGrandini Ho-Hos leading by 5-4. Again, it's 50-50. Who has played more league minutes for us this season? Mika Mbik or Dialing Jayasimi?
Did you say league?
League minutes for Charlton this season. Yeah.
It's got to be. I don't think DJ played in the league at all this season. I reckon it's in Vic.
No, I remember he came on in a game where we didn't have many players before the window. I remember because I watched the game. I wasn't there. I think it was a Port Vale game. I remember him coming on. Yeah, I reckon this might be a trick question from Louis as well. Do you know what I mean?
I can't remember DJ playing.
He's You've got to remember, and Bix come on in the cup as well.
Yeah.
And he come on Saturday.
Come on at Cambridge, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon DJ came on in one game when we were losing. Yeah, I'd say DJ.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, go on, mate.
Yeah, because I think the other one was cut from Mbik, so...
On the ball?
Correct. It wasn't much in it. So DJ, Ben was bang right. He came on for the final 18 minutes of the Port Vale game at the start of the season. I think Mika's come on twice from the bench, but it only adds up to 9 minutes. So DJ has played more league minutes. So you take a 6-4 lead. There's still three questions left for the Elfie May Appreciators. You've only got two questions left. Very similar question for Elfie May Appreciators. Who has played more league minutes for us this season? Charlie Kirk or Deji Eleroway?
God's sake. It's got to be Deji.
As I was going to say, it's got to be Kirk, but I'm phoning this quiz in now.
It's got to be one of the two, definitely.
I just can't even remember Kirk in league games.
Yeah, but don't forget, that doesn't mean he wasn't playing. That just means we can't remember it.
Yeah, that means he was definitely playing.
Yeah, he might have played every minute.
He did 90 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
I don't remember. I thought Deji was on loan. So.
No, because he's come back.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah, he's back and he's... I remember him playing. He was playing right back.
Gonna have to push you guys.
Deji.
Oh no, I'll be saying Kirk.
Well, what's your final answer? Quick. Is that it?
Nah, go with Marks, and I can blame him when we get it wrong.
So you're going with Deji?
Yeah.
Correct. Oh, I didn't make the noise that time, but you are correct. Yeah, Deji Eleroway has played 42 minutes. This season, whilst Charlie Kirk has only played 20. So that makes it very interesting. With two questions left to go each, McGrandini Ojos have 6, Elfie May Appreciators have 5. We're into our final audio round now. This is always probably the most difficult. Someone has scored a goal against us. I've cut out the name of the goal scorer. You need to tell me, definitely you have to tell me the team they're scoring for. I'll be very impressed if you get the name of the player as well. But who scored this goal against Charlton Athletic?
Oh, had to let the ball bounce and it comes the way of who's through on goal. Opportunity. The second. The mistake by Michael Hector. Let the ball bounce and was able to run through. Two goals in quick succession have turned this game around. And Charlton have to come from behind now.
So there we go. That's what the Grandini Ojos. And well, Ben and Lewis, what are you saying?
Yeah, I think
that mistake by Hector against Port Vale.
Yeah, I remember that Hector mistake. I think it was, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Port Vale. No idea on the scorer, though.
Oh,
but, yeah.
We got to guess the goal scorer.
No, I won't go too harsh on the scorers because Tom's struggling to remember our players this week. So
I know one Port Vale player because my mate keeps going on about
Chuck his name out there, but he doesn't
his name
know.
In.
He's South African. I can't remember his name.
No,
now.
It's not him.
He come from AFC Wimbledon.
Oh, that might be him.
On the weekend.
I didn't know he was South African.
Just sent me a picture on the group chat saying he's doing
I mean,
well.
Ben, it's quite a big claim to say I know one player and then not know his name. But anyway, you're right. It's Port Vale.
On the ball.
So
is
it's another
Chislett?
Point on the board. Yeah, Ethan Chislett, yeah. That puts the McGrandini Ho-Hos into a 7-5 lead. There's still two questions to go, though, from the Elfie May Appreciators. So you have to get the team that scored this goal correct.
Hector, it's been robbed by in the area, and he scores. And once again, defensive frailties cost Charlton when we've been on the front foot, been in the ascendancy. Gift the ball to the visiting side, pounces, and 2-0 up.
So, which team scored that goal against us, Mark and Tom?
And went 2-0 up.
I'll leave a little clue in there for you, don't I?
Huh?
I'll leave a little clue in there for you. A couple of people in the
You're doing all you can,
right?
You're doing all you can.
Loads of people got the Vale one correct, by the way. Yeah. Well done to the likes of Andrew and Dan and Sam and Paul and Robert.
Blackpool was 2, Alan. Tom. Bolton was 2.
Yeah, we guessed Bolton already, but I can't remember if we got that right or wrong. So I don't know if that makes any difference.
That's right. I can't think of a Bolton goals against us, to be quite honest.
Neither can I.
You need this to stay in the quiz, lads. Don't let yourselves down.
Yeah, all right. Don't remind me. I think Blackpool rings a bell.
Yeah, we used it earlier and it wasn't right, so let's use it this time.
The Michael Appleton commentary is moaning about a performance, so that's every week, and this one's a defensive mistake, and that's every week. So what are we supposed to do?
Yeah,
but Blackpool, we were definitely 2-0 down.
Hector's mistakes,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think Blackpool.
Blackpool.
Please.
Final answer.
Yeah.
Correct. Why is it not making the noise anymore? So, yeah, another point on the board. Well, that is massive as well. That gives you a fighting chance going into the final round, so that makes it 7-6 to McGrand, Eni, Ho-Ho's.
It's a playoff final all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll try, don't keep it this way, but we've got, right, so this is the last round, and this is your Charlton history round. So I can't decide which one, I'll just go with McGrand, Eni, Ho-Ho's first. So if you get this right, you've won the quiz. What is the name? So Charlton have obviously had, I think, 8 grounds in total. I'm not asking you the name of the current one. That's a bit easy. But yeah, well done to... Oh, I've got to, again, forgot to say, well done to Jake, who got the Dembele goal scorer correct for Blackpool as well. As Karamoko Dembele scored that. I thought it'd be funny to put the 2 Hector mistakes in to try and confuse you. But yeah, so we've had 8 grounds, Ben and Lewis. What was the name that of the ground that Charlton had in Catford? This is for the win. This is where you separate the absolute losers like myself from people who just have a passing interest in Charlton Athletic.
Cool, Mark could have got this one. I think he was there.
He was there. He was there. Yeah, he was a ball boy.
If this is how hard these questions are, I wouldn't worry about getting yours right, lads.
I'm struggling.
Oh, someone in the chat has got it.
Good for them.
I can't even think. The only thing I keep going through my head is like something like Siemens Meadow or something like that, but that's something random.
Jesus.
What year are we
right,
talking
come
here?
On then, guys.
Yeah, this is ages ago, isn't it?
I think you're talking the 20s maybe off the top of my head. But yeah, there's a few good guesses coming in the chat.
Can I phone a friend and call Terry Smith?
Yeah, he helped design the plans for the ground.
I can't even guess. You know,
I wouldn't.
No, my history's good as well, but not on this.
So you've got 5 seconds to give me any answer.
Siemens Meadow.
That's the only thing I can think of. We've got to start having a mentality that means that we can win.
I think Siemens Meadow was a good guess. I'm fairly confident that's one of our other grounds, but unfortunately, you are wrong. It's the Mount, which was at Catford. So yeah, fair play to
after
Snuffles,
Mason
who was
Mount.
The first one. Yeah, they named it after Mason Mount. Yeah, Robert got it, as did Murray as well. So this opens up for the Elfie May Appreciators the chance to get back onto level terms. They're 7-6 behind. Well, Mark strikes me as a history buff because he has lived through vast swathes of it. Can you tell me, Charlton's record attendance at the Valley was achieved in an FA Cup game, 75,031 in 1938. Who were we playing against? And it's not a trick question about the Who concerts. Who were we playing against in the FA Cup for our record attendance?
I actually know this one because I've seen it so many times.
I know this
one. Well, the best way to prove you know it, Tom, is to say it.
Nah, Mark, do you think you know?
Mark's on mute if he is talking, so
that's not helpful for me, Mark. No. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I don't know why I think it. I don't know why I think this, but I think it might be Aston Villa. And that's just a bit like Ben. I'm sure I've seen it somewhere.
So are we going to go for your final answer? This to level up the quiz.
If Mark doesn't know, and I've got nothing else,
it doesn't.
I'm sure it's Villa. I'm sure I've seen Villa somewhere. Yeah, please.
Final answer.
On the ball.
Unbelievable! They've saved it right at the end, which means we now have to go through the rigmarole of doing the tiebreaker. So, congratulations, that makes it 7-7 right at the very end of this quiz. So now we go into the tiebreaker, and we're going to try and do this as quickly as possible. So, guys, get your mobile phones out. You're going to have to text each other in your team groups about this. We'll do a bit of chatting with the listeners while you're waiting for this, and you will literally have 1 minute to get this right. So I want to know what our average attendance has been in League One this season, according to Transfer Market at home. So our average home attendance this season, you need to text me a 5-digit number in your groups within the next minute.
Is okay, that so the what would... fake attendance that they put out on the...
Yeah, it's the announced attendance. Yeah. So I want to know what our average attendance this year is. And let's have all your guesses in the chat as well. And it has to be an exact number. It can't just be a number with a K at the end. Michael, although, yeah, so to be fair, there's some really good guesses going in there. So I need you guys to send me your messages within the next 30 seconds or so, and then we'll let you know who comes out on top. I've got it in Excel to try and work out who will be closest. It's amazing how often we end up with a tiebreaker every year. So there's some really good guesses going in the chat. Don't forget, this is our last show of Charlton Live of 2023. We're not going to be back until 2024, so savour every last minute of me filling the air whilst the guys text each other to try and guess what the attendance is. So, Mark and Tom, if you've got a fight, can you put a final number in your chat, please? And in the other chat as well. So I need a final number going in now, please. You got another 5 seconds. Mark, what's your final number?
Yeah.
Right, so Tom and Mark have put in a number, which I will type into the chat. There, the Elfie may appreciate this. Yep. And Ben and Lewis, what's your final number? Please, you need to put it within the next 5 seconds, or I'm going to take the last number you've put in there. Right, so you've gone for that one. Okay, so the final attendances have been given. McGrandini Ho-Ho-Hos have gone for 12,230. Oh,
it's close.
The Elfie May Appreciators have gone for 11,811. So between the two guesses, there's only 419 between the two guesses, but one of them is closer, and the correct answer is 13,436. So the winners of the competition are McGrandini Ho Ho Ho, who are out by 1,206. Elfie May Appreciators were out by 1,625.
Technically, we're closer to the actual attendance, though, so do we get a point for that?
Yeah, no, you don't, I'm afraid. You are the losers of the quiz. You've let yourselves down, as you do all the time. But yeah, some really good guesses in the chat. So yeah, congratulations, McGrandini Ojos. Win the quiz on the tiebreaker by 8-7. Lads, how does it feel, Ben? Lewis, are you out to celebrate now?
Oh, mate, 2024, the year of McGrandles. Come on.
Yeah, I think that's only going to spur him on now. Hopefully he's watching this tonight.
Yeah, Mark, you take great pride in winning these quizzes. How does it feel to be on the losing side?
I've won with everybody apart from Ben, so it's it happens.
Yeah, well, you can't blame Ben this time, I'm afraid. You're gonna have to blame Tom for your losing mentality that you suffer from too long.
Just a reminder, we've seen I think we did really good to get 7.
Let's just have a quick reminder.
I'm just forgetting.
Let's just have a quick reminder of your losing mentality.
We've got to start having a mentality that means that we can win.
All those excuses we've just heard, I don't think fit in with what Andy Scott's asking for there. Right, we've come to the end of the quiz here. Jake said there's been some poor refereeing in that. I mean, that's take it up with the PGMOL. You know, that's not my problem now. I can't blame VAR for this one. But yeah, we've come to the end of the show. Like I say, this is our last show of 2023. We're going to have a break over Christmas. We'll be back shortly after the game. We'll probably be back the first Thursday of 2024, where we'll catch up with what's happened over the Christmas break. So yeah, just want to say a quick Merry Christmas to everyone who's tuned in throughout 2023. Massive thank you to everyone who has joined us. I hope you've enjoyed the Christmas quiz. We really appreciate all your kind messages in the chat as well. And we've appreciated your company over the course of the year. Massive thank you to everyone who's joined us on the screen this evening. Good to see you, chaps. Merry Christmas, one and all.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas,
everyone.
Good to speak to you all. So we have got our end of year montage to play you out, which I'm going to play in a few moments' time. Just a reminder of some of our favourite moments so far of 2023-24. But just from me then, Louis Mendes, say massive thank you for listening. Merry Christmas. I hope you all have a good time with your families over the last the next couple of weeks. Hope you enjoy the football over the festive period. It's an important time for us. Hopefully we can pick up some big points. And of course, when we come back, the January transfer window will be open as well. So plenty to talk about when we come back. But thanks for listening to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We shall see you again next year.
Plunkett Taylor, four in the box, ball across, yeah! It's tapped home! Oh! And it's the skipper, George Dobson, the first goal of the season. Corey Plunkett Taylor, in the 91st minute, steps forward and scores! Charlie Neville! Back across, Taylor to the goal! What a finish, what a move! Charlton back in front. Plunkett Taylor on his left foot. Can he get wrap his foot round? Oh, what a finish that is! Corey Plunkett Taylor! Levan in the box, takes a shot. Oh, what a finish! What a finish in front of the covered end from Miles Levan. Better Levan, no, but Alfie May's there. And he slams it into the roof of the net. For Charlton's fourth. A lovely touch by Trutzenegger. They take it past Casey. He's isolated a little bit. May's trying to make it up in the penalty area. Can he find him? Alfie May! Gets one back for Charlton. Plunkett Taylor. There's been a shot! Oh! What a finish from Plunkett Taylor! That's outstanding! To his left. Crosses towards Amike! Wonderful cross! Maurice Campbell on the right-hand side. Thinks about a shot. Takes it! Oh! What a finish! Cross for Alfie May. Oh, what a finish! Charlton get a third. To the penalty area. Miles Levan! Scores in front of the covered end once more. Watson reverses it back into May. Can he get it under control? He can. Drill it up! Oh, and he scored! Alfie May has drilled it through the goalkeeper. Who I think was expecting the cross shot. It went through the keeper and into the net. And the Addicts have equalised. McGrandles is there, gets a header in, near post, and he scores! Conor McGrandles has equalised for John! Alfie May steps forward, drills it home! Charlton do have a second! They might divert into Plunkett Taylor's path. Can he finish Corey Plunkett Taylor? Yes, he can! The Addicts have the equaliser!
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.